Coming up next, it's the Nexus 5X, a new Chromecast, and Microsoft's latest gear. You gotta watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Right now, get free FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/beforeyoubuy. And by iFixit. You can fix it, and iFixit makes it easy with free step-by-step repair guides, high-quality replacement parts, and all the tools you'll ever need. For $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, go to ifixit.com/twit and enter the code before you buy at checkout. And welcome to Before You Buy. It's Twit's product review show, where we take the latest and greatest gadgets and gizmos and we put them into the hands of the people who can give you the most honest reviews possible. I'm Father Robert Balthasar, the digital Jesuit, and we're kicking off the show, as we often do, with a brand new phone. And there's no better way to introduce a new phone than with Miriam Jouar. Miriam, thank you very much for coming back to Before You Buy.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
Now, this is a much-awaited, much-hyped, and actually much-celebrated phone, the Nexus 5X. Tell me a little bit about this beauty.
Yes, so as you all know, the Nexus 6 last year left a bit of a hole in a lot of people's hearts, mine included, because the Nexus 5 before it was really probably, and to this day, the best Nexus. And so the 6 was too big for a lot of people, too bulky. And the 5X here, as you know, there's also a 6P, is a return to form. It is essentially the replacement for the 5. And it takes all the things you loved about the 5, really good specs, really affordable price, and a pure Nexus experience, and puts it into a brand new device for 2015. And so this is what we have right here. It's made by LG again. It's actually the third, let me see, one, two, three. Yeah, the third phone made by LG for Nexus line. It's the first time a manufacturer has done more than two devices for the Nexus line.
And I have to say, that's 6. I mean, it wasn't a bad phone, but a lot of people didn't think it deserved the name Nexus. Nexus is really supposed to push the envelope. It's supposed to be sort of the gold standard for that generation of phones. Do you think the 5X actually does that?
I think the 5X lives up to the expectations people have. It does cut some corners compared to the 6P. The 6P, it really is the flagship. But the one thing that I like about this phone in particular is that it doesn't cut too many corners and that the camera is exactly identical to the 6P. So one of the areas that Google made a big fuss during the announcement was, you know, camera performance. And so we're going to talk about that. Both have fingerprint readers. So there's a lot of commonality. You know, both have like dual speakers, et cetera, et cetera. So let's focus on the specifics about this phone.
Yeah,
right?
give me some spec candy. So someone's thinking about a phone.
First,
what are the things
the
that
first
wow
thing you're
you?
Looking at here is that you're looking at a 1080p 5.2-inch IPS panel, right? Versus 5.7 AMOLED Quad HD on the 6P. So, you know, this is about the same display that was on the 5. The 5 was a 5-inch display. This is 5.2. So just a little bigger. And if you put them side by side, it is a touch bigger, but it has that great feel in hand that we really loved about the 5. Inside is a Snapdragon 808. Same thing as in the G4. 6 cores, really fast, one of the state-of-the-art processors. In comparison, the 6P has an 810, which is even faster and has 8 cores.
Okay.
Right? 2 gigs of RAM, that might be a disappointment for some because 3 gigs on the 6P, and a lot of phones are coming out with 3, some with 4, like the OnePlus 2. So this is perhaps an area where there's been a bit of a kind of a reduction, you know, maybe a cutting of corners, but you don't really feel it in everyday use. I mean, it's super snappy. There's really no issue here. You know, multitasking is great. So I really don't think that the processor choice and RAM choice are an issue. You've got a choice of 16 or 32 gigabytes of built-in storage. No micro SD, though, typical Nexus, right? And then in the back, as I said, is a camera that is actually kind of an interesting beast. It's a 12.3 megapixel.
Oh.
And it's got very large pixels, 1.55 micron. That's better than most phones today. So remember the Ultra Pixel on the HTC phones had these 2 micron pixels?
Right.
This is the same idea. And so in order to catch really good lots of light, you have these large pixels. And f over 2.0 aperture, you can also see specs on the front camera here, 5 megapixel, 5 f over 2.0 aperture, and also large pixels on the front. But the back has, as you can see, if you can bring it back, Brian, laser autofocus just like the G4, which is also on the 6P, and a dual LED flash. But one of the big missing things on both these phones this year is OIS. They removed OIS, and I'll tell you what, their reasoning is the pixels are very large, it performs really well, we can save some cost. But I think it's disappointing. I can understand on the 5X, but on the 6P, I think they should have left the OIS, and it would really be killer.
So their reasoning is because the pixels are so large, you're not going to get the blur that would require OIS.
Correct.
But it seems like a weird feature to take out once you've had
it. Right, and I'll show you some pictures in a second. Another thing to keep in mind, both have this fingerprint reader in the back, and I'll show you how fast it is.
Jason Howell really loves that.
Lock the phone, and here you go. So I'll do it again, lock, and you'll see my finger here. There.
So that's fast.
It's very, very fast.
Fast read.
I got both my index fingers memorized. The best thing about have it in the back versus the front is that you pull it out of your pocket, you know, you literally can unlock it before it's even, look, it's unlocked.
Right, so you can basically you unlock it as you're pulling it out.
As you're pulling it out, which is fantastic.
Nice design.
Another thing is you notice dual speakers here, but that's a bit of a cheat. There's actually the main speakerphone speaker is mono, it's down there, so there's no stereo sound. This is just an earpiece. There's also an embedded LED in the bottom here that will show notifications and stuff. And then, as you can see, another big thing this year, and if you can zoom in here, USB Type-C with fast charge,
good.
And of course headphone jack. On the right-hand side here, you have a volume rocker and power lock key. Another thing that's cool is if you double tap the power lock key, I'll show you real quick, you instantly get in the camera no matter what's going on. It's very
fast.
And
that's actually quick, and I like that focus speed.
And then continuing along here, you've got nothing really on the top. You have a nano SIM slot right here. This has all the bands for all the carriers in the U.S. Remember, this will work with Verizon and Sprint as well. So this is very exciting.
And since it's a Nexus device, it's not locked to a carrier. You buy it, you bring the carrier you want.
So, you know, the rest of it is running, of course, you know, Android M, right? So it's the latest version of Android. So you have some really cool features like this, for example. So this is comments on my podcast yesterday. If you hold the Google Now button, now you get contextual information from Google Now.
Oh.
So it shows information about me and information about Evan, who was commenting on my thread here. And this happens in many apps, contextual information now from Google Now. Let me show you some photography and some photos.
That's really the big thing. I mean, we've got good phones and good operating systems, but does this take decent pictures?
So I have taken a few pictures. I'll be very frank with you guys. I've only had 2 days with this phone.
All right.
And, you know, I can generally make a pretty good impression on 2 days, but I just want to give you that caveat. I'm going to add a bit of brightness here so we can see a bit better. We optimize the brightness for the camera. So this is a macro shot. These flowers are about an inch around across.
That's
and
not
as you can see,
bad.
Did a very good job. This
yeah.
is pretty great. Nice depth of field because f over 2.0, you get this shallow and creaminess in the background. Here's a beautiful HDR shot that I just shot just a second ago outside. It's very cloudy right now out there, very gray. To the naked eye, you don't even distinguish all this cloud features. So the phone really gathered a lot of information. I focused a lot of my energy on inside and low light shots to really validate the claims
that's
that Google's
made. That's nice saturation.
Made.
It's got all the colors, right?
This is a really beautiful picture of our little logo up here. You can see there's tons of detail. Even though I shot that just really
quickly. So were they right? Do you not need optical image stabilization?
You do, I still think, because you can be more creative, and certainly it starts falling apart when you... it bumps the ISO more to have the shutter speed go down,
so
and you see more noise.
Okay.
But look at this. This is actually me having fun with a long exposure app. It looks like an infrared shot, so ignore that. But here's a typical, you know, night shot, and you can, as you can see... pretty solid, right? I mean, it's not G4 or Galaxy S6 or Note 5 level, but it's pretty great. This is actually a manual shot where I controlled the exposure by hand, and you can see I did it on purpose. I did like a quarter of a second shot.
Right, so a little bit of shutter there.
But you can tell everything else is super steady despite the fact that there's no OIS. So kudos to that. I mean, it's definitely one of the best Nexus cameras I've used. Here's a really harsh light, so I use HDR+. By the way, this has HDR+, like all the Nexuses, mm-hmm. and it does a fantastic job. And here is another low light shot. Again, look at the amount of detail captured in here. This is pretty impressive.
You know, yeah, I know it's bumping up the ISO, but I don't see all the noise I
there is
get
very
from,
little
a, from
noise.
A lesser camera.
And another thing to point out, there's now an auto HDR mode. The little A appears up here. So this is a new feature. They didn't have an auto HDR plus mode on the previous Nexus. You also notice that the UI for the camera has changed a little bit. The settings are slightly different now. And the way it works is you swipe to go from video to photos. And, of course, here you can swap from front to back. So, I mean, they've improved the camera interface a little bit, but it's still a far cry from a Note 5, a GS4, and an iPhone, I think, in terms of user experience. But the speed is there. And the low-light performance, despite the lack of OIS, is there. So I really think you can't go wrong. $379 for 16 gigs, I wouldn't buy that because you can't expand the storage. $429 for 32 gigs, I'd consider that one.
Okay, well, so Miriam, wait, before we get to that verdict, give me the pros and the cons. So if someone is looking for this phone, what are the things that you think he or she will like?
So the pros, it's a Nexus, right? That right. comes with a payload of awesomeness. The awesomeness is you're going to get all the latest upgrades and security updates and upgrades of OSs. You're going to get, of course, Marshmallow pre-installed, the latest version of Android. You're going to get, you know, a pure Android device completely free of carrier crap and branding, which is fantastic. You get this on all Nexuses. That, to me, is a major pro. The other pro is that it's affordable again. It's in the, you know, $379 to $429 range of the price. I have to give the camera kudos despite the lack of OIS. The cons are, you know, fake stereo speakers, no wireless charging. Qi is gone from both Nexus devices this year. But you do have Quick Charge 3 on USB-C. Another con for this particular phone is that it does not come with a USB Type-A to Type-C cable in the box.
So that's something you're
So you have the charger only, and if you want to plug into your computer, transfer some files or do some debugging, you need to actually buy a cable. On the Nexus 6P, it comes bundled with. So keep that in mind. They're not going to get away with us living this one through. We don't like it at all. And then, you know... potentially a drawback for some people is that, you know, it feels very light, and even, you know, it's well made. It feels nice in the hand. It's plastic, though, and it's kind of light. You try it for yourself.
That's not bad.
It is quite light.
Yeah.
And so some people like that heft and that quality.
I like a little bit of heft.
And so, you know, honestly, there's one thing I want to say before I give my verdict of buy, don't buy, or try, and it's that there's a fly in the ointment here. This... When it was announced and I got to see it 2 weeks ago, awesome, bonus, right? 6P is even better. But now there's another device, and it's here, and it's awesome, and it's the HTC One A9. And this phone is $399 with 32 gigs of storage, micro SD, OIS on the camera, and an almost pure Android experience. And it's made of metal. Sure, it looks like an iPhone, but it is absolutely gorgeous in build, fit, and finish, and everything else. So the question becomes, do you want to spend the same kind of money on a phone that doesn't have expanded storage, no OIS, and is made of plastic? This is really changing a lot of the assumptions we were making about the Nexus 5X when it was announced.
Okay, let's take this ointment. You got to give us a verdict then.
Yes.
You can't hedge this.
So we'll review this very soon on the show. It's an absolute buy.
Okay,
like, there's
good.
No doubt okay. that it's a buy, right? I mean, it is a Nexus. It is a good Nexus. It's a replacement for the 5. But honestly, if it was my money, I would buy the A9, right? But you know, there are some caveats. The A9 might not get updates quite as fast, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But honestly, it's good. It's a good solid phone. If you're really a Nexus fan, though, I say do yourself a favor, spend an extra $100 and get the 6P.
Okay.
It's just just so much better.
Well, there you have it. If you are a Nexus fan, this 5X is definitely worth it. If not, if you're okay with not getting the updates as quickly as a Nexus, you may need to wait for Miriam's review of the new HTC. That's Miriam Jouar. Of course, we love having her here on Before You Buy. She is our phone guru. Can you tell people where they can find you? I mean, of course, all about Android. You're often a guest. You're often on Before You Buy. But you do things outside of the Twit network, as hard as it is to believe. Where can they go?
Of course. So most people will find me on my blog and my podcast. Tankgirl is my handle online, TNKGRL. Like the comic book, drop the handles. The vowels. Tankgirl.com. I just do podcasts there from time to time, reviews of devices I don't review here. And then, of course, on Twitter, it's Tankgirl as well. You can follow me there for announcements and news. And, you know, I'm the VP of Developer Relations for CleverTap, so I have to let people know, obviously, that, you know, this is the lovely people I work for. So there you have it. Nexus 5X.
Miriam, thank you so very much. Again, always a pleasure every time you're here, every time you get to share your knowledge about phone tech. Now, when we come back, we're going to be doing some Microsoft things in a bit. But first, we thought we wanted to show off some tech for those folks at home who think that wireless doesn't quite give them the speed they want, and they can't really run wires out to the device in the place of the house or their campus that they want. So we asked Leo Laporte to take a look at a TP-Link AV500 power line adapter for the people who want to be wired, even when they're not wired. Here's what he thought.
Thanks, Robert. I am frequently asked to get the question on the time on the radio show, how to extend a Wi-Fi network or get wired networking from one room to the other without opening up the walls or dragging, you know, Ethernet cable underneath the house. And while I think it probably always is better when you're building a new house to make sure you have a little Cat 5 or better yet 5E or 6 cable into every room. There's nothing that beats wired. It is the case that you can nowadays kind of replace the wired networking with something called power line networking. I've tried power line again and again over the years, and when it first started, it was really pretty slow and terrible. But the latest power line networking is, this is home plug version 2, is really pretty impressive. Now, there are a number of places you can go. What we're looking at right now is a starter kit from a company called TP-Link. You might remember the name. They're the company that made the Google OnHub router. And they make what Wirecutter considers the best low-cost router, the Archer C7. So I thought, well, if anybody's going to make a good power line adapter, it'll be TP-Link. All of these power line adapters work the same way. They plug into your wall. Notice that's it. They plug into the wall and then they plug into your router. What happens is they're going to use the wiring in your house to transmit data. Now, that's a difficult thing to do, and they've got to do a lot of filtering and so forth. And it's not going to be, frankly, as fast as Cat 5 or Cat 6 cable, but it does do a pretty good job, especially considering how inexpensive and easy it is to set up. So this starter kit is about $50. For another $30, you're going to get additional units to plug into different outlets of the wall. You'll plug this in, again, next to your router or your cable modem, and that's it. Now, this is going to modulate your internet access and put it through the wall. One of the nice things about this particular one, the AV500, it's also a Wi-Fi access spot. So anywhere in the house now, I can plug in this second unit and get Wi-Fi or wired Ethernet from that plug socket. So that means, for instance, I can have a TV set that only supports wired networking plugged into this, and even if it's, you know, several rooms down the hall away from the router. Now, how well does it work? Well, there are a couple of caveats. First of all, if you have a junction box, in other words, if you have segmented circuitry in your house, this isn't going to do very well across the junction box. It's really for a single circuit home, but in most cases, that's what you've got. Most single family buildings are like that. It also isn't going to be as fast, as I said, at wired. I did some benchmark testing on the Wi-Fi, by the way, because I'm using these as Wi-Fi extenders. My Wi-Fi from my Asus AC3200 wireless access point is about 100 megabits down and 20 megabits up. Over the power line networking, I was getting about 17 megabits down and 14 megabits up. Now, that's not as fast by any means. In fact, it's on the download side, it's about a sixth as fast, but it's more than fast enough for wireless internet access, even for watching video and movies. It'd be even faster if you use the Ethernet cable. So if you want to extend a Wi-Fi network, sure, you can buy Wi-Fi extenders, but this is a little more robust. As long as you're on the same circuit, power line circuit as your router, you can actually use this. This plugs in next to the router, and this can plug in anywhere in the house. For about $50, I was able to extend my network and get effectively wired networking into every room of my house. It's actually, the time is right. It's ready. This is the HomePlug Alliance, I think version 2 of HomePlug. There are other standards, which I understand work just about as well, so you don't have to worry about which standard you use as long as all the devices on the network adhere to that standard. On the pros and cons, well, on the pros, it's inexpensive and it couldn't be easier to set up. If you can plug into a wall and plug into an Ethernet jack, that's it. It does use software on your Windows or Mac to find these units and configure them, but you can use them as configured out of the box as long as you don't mind having a strange SSID name for the access point and a weird password. I configured mine to actually have the same name and password as my Wi-Fi access point. That way nobody has to change their settings as they wander around my house. The software is a little bit of a con. It's not the best software in the world and sometimes doesn't find these devices, but you only need to use it once. And once you've got it set up, everything seems to work quite flawlessly without any attention. So inexpensive, easy to configure. Those are the pros. The cons, the software provided, not the easiest in the world to use. And the price, absolutely right. It's a definite buy if you're in an environment where you can go from one plug to the other without a junction box or any sort of interference in between. And, of course, it's going to vary depending on your wiring. But at $50 to try it, I think it's a definite buy. That's the TP-Link Wi-Fi AV500 Starter Kit. You'll find many more of these TP-Link units for a variety of applications on Amazon and on the TP-Link website. That's it. Powerline Network. It's finally here and usable. Back to you, Robert.
There you have it from the mouth of Papa Leo himself. If you are looking for an alternative to running wire or using wireless, take a look at the $40 TP-Link AV500 Powerline Network Adapter. It might be in your future. Now, when we come back, we're going to be doing something a little different for Before You Buy. We've actually got a live guest coming in over Skype to tell us a little bit about a Kickstarter that has several of us in the Brick House enamored. It's a very cool device. If you're a streamer, if you're a gamer, or if you just like having control of your entertainment system, you may need some screens. But before we do that, let's go ahead and thank the first sponsor of this episode of Before You Buy. And it is a sponsor that I personally love because I bought their product way before they became an advertiser on the network. And it's this. This is the Ring Video Doorbell. And just like the name sounds, it is a doorbell. So you push this button and, well, a sound will chime inside your home so you know someone's at the door. But it is so much more. Now, in this kit, you get everything you need to have it installed, up and running in minutes. That's everything from the drill bit to the tools to the level and, of course, the Ring Video Doorbell. Now, here's how this would install. If you have a wired doorbell, then it means that there's some voltage going to that doorbell. That's how you can push the button and have the bell ring on the inside. This plate will adapt it to the Ring Video Doorbell, so you will never, ever have to charge it. But if you don't, if you have a brand new house that doesn't have a doorbell wire, or if you want to put a doorbell in a place that doesn't have wiring, you can just charge it with a little micro USB connector here, and it's good to go for a year. Now, what does the Ring do once it's charged up? It connects to your home Wi-Fi network, and it tells you if there's someone at the door. Not just if they ring the bell, but if they get within sense of the motion detectors here. It turns your house into something with caller ID, and it's personally something that I absolutely love. I've been using this at my parents' home, and it allows me on my phone to see who might be coming to visit, or maybe who's casing the joint. I can see if someone has come and rung the bell and perhaps is staring through the windows because I can see it all in the video. I can download that video to my phone so I can have evidence for later on. The thing about the Ring Video Doorbell is it's not just a gadget. It's not just a gizmo. It's not just something that adds convenience. It adds peace of mind. And folks, it's one of the hardest things to get. What we want you to do is we want you to try the Ring Video Doorbell. Try the device that Time Magazine called one of the best of 2014. Turn your house into a super advanced caller ID system where you can find out who's there, who's coming to see you, who's checking out your stuff, even when you're not home. And right now, because you're a fan of the Twit TV network and because we love Ring so much, they're going to give you free FedEx shipping. Prevent burglaries before they happen. Have yourself a peace of mind and turn your house into something, well, more techno. Go to ring.com/before you buy. That's ring.com/before you buy for free FedEx shipping. Once again, that's ring.com/before you buy. With Ring, you're always home. And we thank Ring for their support of Before You Buy. We now welcome to the show a man who's running a Kickstarter that I personally think could change how we stream. It could change how we hook up our entertainment systems. It could change what we do with the media that we already have. We welcome to Before You Buy, Mr. Mark Todd. Thank you very much for coming on to Before You Buy. Mark, are you hearing us?
I am hearing you, Padre.
Now, we had you on This Week at Enterprise Tech a few weeks back, and you were showing off a Kickstarter for a device called Screens, and we wanted to give our BYB audience a first look. Could you tell us really briefly, what is Screens?
So Screens is a device that's a small piece of new technology that allows you to combine simultaneous HDMI feeds. I have a 2- and 4-port HDMI device. Combine those together with a built-in web page, Chrome browser, and then you can use an iPad to configure any one of the HDMI inputs and put it on a single screen. And what's good about that is it allows you to customize your own layouts, like you're seeing in the video. You can combine linear content, gaming consoles, Twitter, Facebook. Really, any content that's out there can now get combined on the same screen and put under the control of the user.
Now, some people may not know exactly how big this is. I mean, if you are a streamer, if you do Twitch, if you're a TwitchCon attendee, you understand that sort of the holy grail is to have a device that doesn't require a big setup, a lot of computers, a lot of different inputs, that would just let me set my setup on a tablet, on an application that I'm running, and take up to, I believe you have got a 4-device unit that you could also daisy chain and have it set up exactly as I want.
Exactly. And in fact, excuse me, when you get the basic concept that the paradigm is now that we're able to take as many HDMI inputs as you want, and we're doing real-time compositing, so there's only one frame delay, about average of 10 milliseconds. So that allows you to play real video games. You could put, you know, 4 simultaneous PlayStations and Xbox, whatever you want, and it'll perform in real time. Not only that, but we're also doing video effects. So we have things like priority layering. We'll have cropping. We have transparency, which the kids just love. They love the transparency, being able to transparent video over each other. We're going to have chroma key. That'll be part of it. And then we have a couple of really cool additions since we've last talked. The first one is we got back from TwitchCon, and both Twitch and really big streamers were really impressed with the device. And they asked, could I put H.264 live encoding in and directly stream right out of the box up to Twitch or YouTube? And so we've added that. We've added H.264, 1080p, 60 frames a second, baseline, medium, and high H.264 compression. And we're going to be able to shoot it up RTMP up to Twitch, YouTube, or really wherever you want to send it. In addition to that, we've also added in that same vein audio mixing. Oddly, everybody wants to do audio mixing. So we've added a little DSP in to allow us to do 5 digital decodes, mix them together using the iPad as your digital guide. And then we'll put it out as a composite 5.1 PCM linear audio signal write out the HDMI.
We should mention that you actually developed your own silicon for this. So this is not just taking off-the-shelf parts and putting it into a box. You created a processor that specifically does stream encoding so that you don't have that lag, so you don't have a lot of crashes.
Right. Unlike some, we have our team of very deep, long electrical engineers, deep understanding, and we went and built our own FPGA. We built our own circuits, and we've been about 3.5-4 years doing this. We have lots of patent pendings on the concept, and because we're building it in flexible hardware, these semiconductors are massive. These things are not usually, at least to my knowledge, out at the consumer. These things are really for core routing networks of 10 gig, 100 gig, big medical devices, that sort of thing. What we've done is taken those big chips and cost reduced them and put them into a consumer device. And this is why it's easy for us, I say relatively easy, but it's pretty straightforward for us to add those feature sets that the streamers and the gamers are asking for. You want H.264 encoding, you want audio mixing, okay. We can dynamically change that in the platform and bang, it's updated. So it's a significant piece of technology. And I think it's gonna change. The goal is to change the way displays work.
Right. Now, we've got Comdoggy in the chat room right now who's saying you can do this with OBS, the open broadcast system, which you can. I've actually played with OBS. The thing is, once you start getting all the hardware into an OBS box that you actually want to make it run smoothly, to get you clear captures, the system that I was trying to create was going to price out at about $1,300. That's nowhere near this. I got in early on the Kickstarter project. I think I got the $399 version, which was the TwitchCon special. I wanted the anodized case. But I think the Kickstarter's running for another, 9 days?
Correct.
What are they looking at as far as sponsorship is concerned?
Well, we've got a goal of a stretch goal of 500K that we're hoping to get to. And one thing I want to kind of make mention of the Kickstarter, right now, it's not our intention to, after the Kickstarter, start selling these commercially. Our goal is for the Kickstarter is to get that core team of people that want to get all these features and bring them together as a team and take their feedback. So I'll be putting the production run together and shipping in March. And then we'll be going to production runs after that. So if you don't get in now, you probably won't see something until June or July of next year. And another thing that I'd like to say is that maybe this may be not true of other Kickstarters. If you've never gotten a flexible hardware design before, you're going to get a lot of value on the upside. So all of my pro users, all of my pro customers, people that are getting this in, you're going to get a lot of features for free. I'm going to basically flood you with everything I've got on for feature upgrades on the pro versions. And give you a good example.
Added that because we met the stretch goal. You were asking for 25,000 and you've got 325,000. And I believe you've already added Wi-Fi and USB headset support, right?
Correct. We also added 10/100/1000 into the 4-port box. People asked for RJ45, so we added that. It was actually there. I just hadn't described that. And you can see right now I'm 100% engineer and zero marketing. So the one thing I'd also like to say is, and here's something really cool your viewers might find really interesting, and not many people know this. In fact, only a couple days ago did I disclose this to someone outside the company, but I have and let me just reach for it here so you can see. I have screens running in the background. You probably can't see that on the display. But the other thing that screens can do is I've actually typed this into an Oculus Rift.
Stay tuned.
Okay. Totally cool. Now, the reason that this is a big thing, I think that screens doesn't actually step on anybody in the virtual reality space, but I think we fill a huge cog. So the exact same box, all I'm doing is booting into a different mode. I can take any HDMI input, so that's your TV, your set-top box, your gaming station, PlayStation, and pipe it into the Oculus Rift. And you can, I've got video coming out real soon of actual gamers that are actually playing games on Xbox and PlayStation and playing against each other. And that's really cool. And if you look at this little rig here, here's something. And again, I think your audience will appreciate this, as all of us are engineers. The I have this really cool demo called, a second demo called Digital Eyes, that because we do things in real time, we can take the output of two GoPros that are stuck on the front, and we can process them in real time in two HDMI feeds and drive them to each eye. So when you put the goggles on, you can actually walk around and see your surroundings. So it's like AR in VR. And of course, because we can blend, we can then overlay back in VR. So AR and VR with some more VR. So there's some cool technology with the boxes. And for those that, if whoever ends up with a pro unit, the 2 or the 4, you're going to end up, I'll kind of give this DK2 code. This is the developer type of an arrangement, and I'll and allow you to get that code so you can play with your DK2 yourself. But if you're in drones, if you're in live camera feeds, and you're in 3D video, for example, you want to put that stuff in, you can do it with a screens box and save yourself that $1,500 computer to drive a DK2.
You got a lot of people over here salivating, Mark. So, unfortunately, we do have to go. But I got to say, both Brian Chi and myself have backed your project. I think he got the 4. I got the TwitchCon, the Pro version. And so when we get our units in, we will be showing them off here on Twit TV. Once again, could you tell the folks where they can go if they want to back you on Kickstarter, if they want to get one of these units before they may be commercially available late next year, where can they go?
Absolutely. The easiest way to get to the Kickstarter site will be our website. If you go to www.screens.com, and that's SKREENS.com, the front page has a direct link to the Kickstarter site. Or if you go to the Kickstarter site and you search for Screens, you'll find us there as well. And again, I can't stress enough that if you think you're even close to wanting anything to do with this, I would suggest get in now. I'm looking for those people that want all these applications for IT, enterprise, medical, home, gaming, streaming. This is a significant piece of technology, and I'm totally interested in people who are technical. You're not going to get a lot of marketing out of me, but you're going to get a lot of FPGA images. Yep. And I'm right here in Boston, and so it's a U.S.-built product. I build it right up here in Northern Mass, Southern New Hampshire, and so it's the real deal.
This is Twit TV. We love ourselves some geeks. Mark Todd from Screens, again, thank you for being on. I'm sure we're going to have you on a couple of other shows, because it's rare that we get a geek who's just really making a cool project because he can. Again, don't forget to try his Kickstarter, and that's been your first look of Screens. Mark Todd, thanks for being on Before You Buy.
Thank you.
Now, let's switch gears a little bit, because we've been talking about screens. We've been talking about taking in multiple devices and either streaming them or putting them onto your big screen. What if you just want something that can play from the internet? What if you just want something that can receive a broadcast from your device? That's why we gave the new Chromecast to Jason Howell, and we asked him to give us an honest review.
Hey, what's up? I'm Jason Howell, and I'm here with the latest version of the Chromecast. The Chromecast is one of my absolute favorite pieces of technology. I use it literally every single day, or mostly every single day at home. I've had the Chromecast that was released in 2013 for a few years now, and it's just become indispensable in our house for watching videos online. And it's inexpensive. That's a big reason why it's so amazing. Well, Google finally put out an update, and they now have the 2015 model of the Chromecast for the same price as the old model. $35 is all you spend to get this cool looking little little hockey puck style dongle, essentially. They made one of the changes that they made is that they are using more of a flexible cable that can connect to HDMI in the back of the screen. That'll help. The previous version was more of like a hardware dongle that looked like a USB thumb drive or something along those lines, and it would be hard to fit. Now you can fit it and be behind almost any TV. And the underside is magnetic, and I'm not really quite sure exactly why they did that, other than the fact that when it's unplugged, the HDMI portion can actually snap to the underside of the device. Kind of unnecessary, but I suppose that's neat. Now, this version does support 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi networks, and basically what that means is less interference versus the old model that supports 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi. And really, you know, the hardware is kind of not the selling point here. The hardware is pretty unimpressive. There's not a whole lot to it. What this is really all about, though, is the software and the capabilities that it can do. So let's kind of take a look at some of that. You plug it into the power. The setup is really easy at the start. You pretty much just plug it in both to HDMI and power behind your TV. Go ahead and download the Chromecast app, the newly designed Chromecast app, which I have right here. And this is pretty much how you do it. You launch into the Devices tab, and it'll search for the Chromecast. It'll find it there, and you can set it up from there. It's super straightforward. Enter in your network ID, your password, and given that your Wi-Fi is stable, it'll connect, and it's on the network and ready to go. So now that you have it set up, it's all about kind of the software and what apps you happen to have on your device that works with it. That's one of the big key strong points of the Chromecast. Over the past couple of years, some amazing partners have hopped on board, and pretty much almost everything that you would want to play through your Chromecast is there. You've got Netflix, Google Play content, Hulu Plus, HBO Go, YouTube, Spotify just added support. You're not going to find Amazon on here. That's a big time bummer, I would say. And obviously, or pretty obvious to me anyways, you're not going to find Apple's iTunes content on here. But for the most part, outside of those two examples and maybe a few isolated other selections, you're going to find most of the apps that you want to play through something like this compatible and has that support built into the app. So with all that compatibility, all you have to do is open a supported app. Let's just go to YouTube, for example. And up at the top, we'll have a little casting button. You tap that, select the Chromecast device, and as you can see, it switches right over. Now I can pretty much play anything from here, and it's going to send it right through the Chromecast. It's fully connected. Basically, your phone acts as the remote control for, in this case, YouTube. Not really quite sure what this is that I'm playing, Super Mansion. But anyways, I can go ahead and pause it, and it'll pause. I can skip forward and play, and it'll play from a point down further in. And something to keep in mind is that the content is actually loaded from the Chromecast itself. So you're using your phone to tell the Chromecast where to look, and then the Chromecast is doing all the heavy lifting. If you're not a fan of the idea of using your phone as a remote control, Chromecast might not be for you, as opposed to some of the other competitors that have an actual hardware remote. Here, your phone, your device is meant to be the controller for the content on your screen. Making it a little bit easier, if you go into the Chromecast app itself, all of your supported apps that are installed on your device are integrated into here. The app actually recognizes that I have YouTube and Netflix and all that kind of stuff. So I can literally use this as my control panel, find content from there, set it up, send it to the TV, and boom, we've got Marty McFly and Doc Brown visiting Jimmy Kimmel Live after this advertisement, of course. Gotta love YouTube. But anyways, it's that easy. And finding that content through the Chromecast app is made very easy. It's an integrated search, so you could plug in Mad Men as your search, and it'll tell you of all the installed apps, which of those have a Mad Men episode that you can either buy or stream for free. And it's very, very cool like that. This Chromecast also supports HDMI CEC, which basically means if you have a supported television set or remote control, it can pass some of those remote control functions through to a hardware remote. So you can press play, pause, forward, reverse on your remote, but your mileage may vary on that. If you don't want to use the phone, or if you have something like Amazon content that isn't going to pass through, you can actually throw a Chrome tab from your PC up onto the screen. You can also cast your screen from Android. Check this out. I'll go into my settings. I'll go ahead and cast, and soon you're going to see well, my device, basically. Here it is. And so if I have something that's showing on my screen that I want to show on the big screen, this is another way that you can do it. So if that hasn't kind of shown you how versatile Chromecast just as a platform is, I don't know what to tell you. That's one of the big pluses of the Chromecast, is that you can do so much with it. It's not just isolated to apps. You can do so much more beyond that. Dolby Digital Plus surround sound is supported. If the app passes that through and you want that kind of surround sound experience, you can get that through Chromecast as well. Just really good bang for your buck. I've already kind of talked a little bit about the Chromecast app itself. It's a great way to kind of take a look at your content. You can also get apps. So I can go to the Get Apps tab, and this is a great way to find other apps that are fully supported, and you can just see all the big players are here. Makes everything just a complete cinch. Another important thing here, we'll go to the Devices tab, and we can set up something called Backdrop. You can see these are just all my settings, but if I go into Backdrop, this is basically the screen that Chromecast idles on. And they've made some improvements to Backdrop versus the old version of the Chromecast. For example, there's just a lot more sources that you can pull from, and some repeat from the last time. Google Photos, which I like to go in there and turn that on and pick some photo albums that they'll filter through. Facebook photo albums, Flickr, Play Newsstand. You can also take some that Google chooses for you, like Earth and Space Pictures, you know, NASA's Image of the Day, or featured photos from Google Plus, Getty Images, that sort of stuff. Having the weather display on your parked screen. And this is all intended to kind of spruce up the main screen. So this is one of those images that's pulled in, and this is kind of Backdrop. You can see it kind of filtering through as like a slideshow. As for performance, Google says that this newer version of the Chromecast is faster. It certainly supports, it's like I said, it supports 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi standard versus 2.4 gigahertz. They also say that it has something called Fast Start, which means it's ramping up to play content is a little bit faster this time versus the old version. I thought it was pretty darn fast on the old version anyways. And so I didn't really see a huge amount of difference as far as that's concerned. But, who knows? Maybe your system is different and you'll actually recognize it. But it was pretty fast anyways. As such, I would probably say that if you have an old version, I wouldn't necessarily rush out and buy the new version thinking that you have to keep up to date with it. But let's take a look at the pros of the new Chromecast, the 2015 Chromecast. First of all, the price, $35. It's kind of a no-brainer price point based on all the stuff that you can do with it. Pretty awesome. Technically, it is faster than the previous version. Again, your mileage may vary. The new design definitely fits in more places. So if you have an awkward area of space behind the TV, this is going to fit in there a little bit nicer. Thousands of supported apps and services because it's been around for a couple of years and people really do love it. And the redesigned app is simply awesome. It makes finding content a breeze. Now for the cons, no Amazon, no iTunes. That could be a bummer for some people. Could be kind of expected from others. And no physical remote or interface. You're locked into your device to control the Chromecast 2015. And if that's a deal breaker, then you'll want to look elsewhere. So overall, I would have to say that the Chromecast 2015, in my opinion, is no-brainer. It's a buy. If you're looking to get a Chromecast, you don't have one yet, absolutely get one. You're not going to regret the $35 that you spend on it. If you already have a Chromecast from the last series, the 2013 version, I wouldn't say that you have to rush out and replace it, but hey, $35 is not very much. So, you know, maybe that's enough to convince you to stay up to date with the latest version. My name is Jason Howell. Thank you so much for watching this review of the Chromecast 2015 edition. You can catch my reviews here on Before You Buy, as well as All About Android, of course, where I talk all about Android. We'll see you guys later.
It's a buy for the Chromecast from our very own Jason Howell. It's much better than the original, and if you are looking for an inexpensive streaming device that plugs straight into your HDMI-equipped monitor, TV, whatever it might be, that's the buy for you. We thank Jason Howell. Of course, he is here for All About Android and Android App Arena, and we like to call him the AAAs. But you will also find him in the back behind a lot of the Leo shows here on the Twit TV network. It's a great way to find out what the tallest man in showbiz does when he's not telling us about Android. Now, When we come back, we've got a little something-something from the Microsoft event. If you want to know what it's like to actually hold their new phones, their new gaming devices, and, of course, that new Surface Book, you're going to want to stay tabbed. But before we do that, let's thank the second sponsor of this episode of Before You Buy. And it starts with some repair, specifically with iFixit repair. Now, you know that Brian, Cranky Hippo, and myself love iFixit. It is the company of choice for the tools that we need to build, to bend, to break, and to upgrade. Now, this is the Pro Tech Toolkit on steroids. The business repair kit has a bag that includes everything you might need to start your own repair business or something that you might need to take on site so that you can get things done. Inside this bag is the ProTech Toolkit, the famous iFixit standard for repair toolkits with 70-plus tools to help you dish sweet repair justice. It's got the magnetic project mat, so you will always know where your screws are, so you can label where every part goes and where it needs to return. The portable anti-static mat, the ProTech screwdriver kit, the eye opener, the heavy-duty suction cups, the digital multimeter, lots of extra plastic opening tools, cleaning tools like a dust blower, a screen cleaner, microfiber cloth, a brush, and they're all neatly organized into this messenger bag, which is perfect for storage to take your repair shop on the go. Now, this is the all-in-one kit to kickstart your repair business or to complete that arsenal of tools that you've always wanted. This giant bundle is available at a steep discount over the regular price, what you would have to pay if you bought each individual component. It's only $249.95. That's $100 less than buying everything separately. Buy it for yourself, for a new employee, or give it as a gift. And best of all, iFixit has not just the tools, but the guides and tutorials to help you put all these tools to use. You can fix your friend's cracked iPads, swap the battery on your neighbor's iPhone, build or upgrade a laptop or PC. The possibilities are endless with this iFixit business repair toolkit. Now, here's what we want you to do. We want you to fix it, and iFixit can make it easy. When you visit iFixit.com/twit, you can save $10 off any purchase of $50 or more by entering the code before you buy at checkout. That's iFixit, and use the code before you buy to save $10. And we thank iFixit for their support of Before You Buy. Now it's time for something a little different, something a bit more fun. This Monday, there was an event in San Francisco. It was the Microsoft Device Night, a chance for the members of their retail operation to come in and get their hands on the latest and greatest gadgets and gizmos from Redmond. Brian, if you go ahead and play that video, this is what it looked like in downtown San Francisco. It was a combination of some of their newest toys, including this. This, as you might have guessed, is their new Surface Pro 4. 11.5 inches by 7.93 inches by 0.33 inches thick. It's 1.69 pounds to 1.73 pounds. It's got a 12.3 inch 2736 by 1824 screen, 3.2 aspect ratio, of course, with 10-point multi-touch and pen support. Now, this is going to run Windows 10 Pro. It's going to have an Intel M3, i5, or i7, 4, 8, and 16 gigabytes of memory, up to 1 terabyte of SSD space, and a 5-megapixel, 8-megapixel front-rear camera. You're going to get about 9 hours of active use, although talking to the people there, it's closer to 11 hours of typical use. Now, this is thinner and lighter than the previous versions. It's also got USB-C and a fingerprint sensor. This really excited me. Now, we know that Microsoft phones are not known for being cool, but hear me out. This is the new 950 and the Lumia 950 XL. 5.2 or 5.7-inch 2560 by 1440 screens, 3 gigabytes of memory, dual SIM capability, 32 gigabytes of storage expandable to 2 terabytes with micro SD cards, and, of course, USB-C that plugs into that. That's the dock that lets me have Continuum. 3 USB 3.0 ports, an HDMI out port, and a display port. This means that I can use my phone as a desktop. Yeah, that's a 4K screen being driven by a Lumia phone. Folks, I really think that's the killer feature. Now, of course, Microsoft's got gaming, and this Device Night was no exception. In the game pavilion, what you see here are two Xbox Ones, but you've also got a couple of Surface tablets on the side. Remember, one of the biggest features is the ability to stream games over a connected network. That's a Surface tablet that can play against an Xbox One. Again, if you like gaming and you don't want to be bound to one place, because who does? I mean, we've got screens everywhere. Xbox has a brand new way for you to play. And of course, this was my favorite. This is the big cheese. This is the one that Leo has coming on Monday, the Surface Book. according to PC Mag, this thing is three times as fast as a comparable MacBook. It lasts for almost 15 hours on battery, and it's got that beautiful hinge. I love that hinge that allows me to keep the center of gravity in such a place so that I'm not tipping over the notebook. Of course, the screen will detach, so I can use it as a tablet, and the GPU is in the base, which means that if I want more power, I actually have a reason to connect it to its dock now. Now, also check that out. Look how strong that is. This thing is not going to drop off. It's much like some of the Acer hinges that I've seen with that extra flare of that sort of accordion design. Oh, I want this. It's been very rare that I've wanted a Microsoft device as much as I've wanted some of the things that I've seen at Microsoft Device Night. I want that Lumia phone. I want that Surface Book. And I got to say, Microsoft has really been surprising the last couple of months. So if you're looking for a pricey device, yes, but one that's incredibly high value and high quality, you're going to want to check out the all-magnesium Surface Book Pro. Now, we're going to have those devices in studio. Leo will be having the Surface Book Pro, the Surface Book on Monday. So we should have it on next week's Before You Buy, hopefully. And the other devices will follow shortly. So it's all roses for Microsoft. Now, that does it for this episode of Before You Buy. I'm sorry, but we are out of time. I'd love to talk a whole lot more about the stuff that I saw at Microsoft Device Night. We're just going to have to save it for another day. Thanks to everyone here who makes this show possible. Of course, to Leo Laporte. Of course, to Jason Howell. Of course, to Miriam Jawar. We wouldn't be able to have a show without our reviewers. And also thanks to the production crew, to Lisa and Leo for letting us do this show, to Carson, my super producer, and to Cranky Hippo. Yeah, that's
yeah,
you.
Nickname.
You want to tell the folks where they can find Brian Burnett on the Twit TV network?
Well, they can find me doing a how-to show with you on Thursdays. It's a lot of fun. And you can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo.
Fantastic. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballester, and I just want to remind you that you got to watch Before You Buy.